If you have your Bibles with you tonight, we're turning to 1 John, the Epistle of John, 1 John. First John chapter 2, and we want to read at verse number 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Let's again look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we open your word, we pray that you would open our hearts and plant the seed of the word of God into our hearts, that it may grow and bear fruit. We thank you for the truth of your word is forever settled in heaven, and we pray that it would forever be settled in our hearts as we live in this world day by day, and that we would meditate often upon it, that we would come to its pages daily and meditate. And we thank you for this service, and we ask these things in our Savior's name. Amen. The word love in 1 John 2:15, love not the world. It means don't be fond of all the shiny objects that are in the world. It means having guarded attachments to individuals or to things in this world. The word world, as it's used here, doesn't mean the world of the creation. All the beauty of the life and the flowers and the trees that we've seen during this Easter season, or a beautiful sunrise. It doesn't mean that. It literally means this world, all that is in the world, means the world. If you look that word up, it means the world as a structured system, as a structured arrangement. The Greek Strong's Dictionary gives those meanings to this word world. It's structured systems and its arrangements. And its structured systems and arrangements are arranged by the people of this world, mostly with the help of the god of this world, Satan. And after the fall, this present world system that we're describing, it has a designer, and that is that old deceiver, the god of this world, and Satan. You remember when the Lord Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. The devil came to him to tempt him. And it says that the devil took him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. That phrase, all the kingdoms of the world, I thought on that. Was it meaning that all the kingdoms of the world in the days of the Lord? I don't think so, because the kingdoms of this world that the devil is over are the kingdoms today. All the kingdoms. He showed him somehow all the kingdoms of this world. And he said, all of these will I give unto you if you'll just fall down and worship me. And you know the Lord's response. He said, get thee hence, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So the Bible tells us, love not the world. Love not the world. And those four words there in 1 John 2:15, they compose what I consider to be one of the most important commands. It is a commandment. And I think it composes one of the most important commands of God in all the Word of God. It's a command for every believer to go out and obey every day. Obey that command every day. Love not the world. And so for that reason, every believer should take this command very seriously in our heart, very seriously. And you should think upon it often. You should think upon it often. You should obey it always. Love not the world. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we read these words, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Forsaken, that word forsaken, Demas forsook Paul and the work. Demas, that word forsaken, it means Demas deserted Paul. It means deserted, if you look it up in the Greek concordance. He deserted the work that the Lord put him in. He left Paul behind for the love of this world. He did not guard his desires. He did not put a guard on his desires. He left Paul for the love of this world. He deserted Paul for the things of this world and for his love for this present world. What causes anyone to desert believers? To leave them behind. To love the love of the world will do it. The love of this world will do that in the heart of any believer. Demas loved this world. And no one should think that such a thing could not happen to them. It can and does all the time happen. That's why God inspired these words here in the scriptures. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And also in Romans, it tells us in chapter 12 and verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That word conformed, and I did have my concordance with me as I was studying, it means be not conformed. Don't start companionships with this world. Be careful of your associations. Don't become entangled up into the world's many arrangements. Don't allow this world to draw you into these arrangements or associations. If you turn back to Galatians chapter 1 for a moment, Galatians chapter 1, reading at verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. You know, as I thought on this verse, I thought that sometimes we have a tendency to stop in the middle of this verse. Christ died on the cross. He rose again to save us from our sins. That's true. He did do that. But the verse doesn't stop there. That's only half of the reality of why the Lord gave himself for our sins. Let's keep reading. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God. Our associations have to be according to God's will. And the Bible is just replete with so many examples. We could just name many of them. Demas has forsaken me. Think of the life of Samson. Think of Solomon and Ananias and Sapphira. We could go on and on and on. Verse 4 describes here in Galatians chapter 3, it describes or rather chapter 1, it describes this present world with one word. The word evil. And in the Greek dictionary Strong's Concordance, that word evil has, it's a multi-word description. This present evil world. It means hurtful. This is a hurtful world. It means degenerate, calamitous, vicious, lewd, malicious, wicked. And that's why the Bible encourages us, don't love this world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And think about it. If 2,000 years ago, two millennia ago, the Word of God described the world then present as evil and hurtful and degenerate and calamitous and vicious and lewd and malicious and wicked, have we somehow now, after 2,000 years, made great advances of ridding the world of these evils? No. No, mankind, with the help of the God of this world, with his guidance and his demons, has only made this world more and more evil. This is an evil world. That's why believers need to put a check on our hearts as far as what things we love in this world. What is it that we love? Man has not improved. He's not improving. And contrary to the indoctrination of all levels of public education today, man is not evolving. He's not getting better and better. He's not an evolutionary creature that's on an upward improving path. Man was at his pinnacle in the Garden of Evil, in the Garden of Eden, and he's only been spiritually declining ever since then. Man has been morally and spiritually decaying, rotting from within spiritually since the day that God had to drive him out of the Garden of Eden. And God had to place cherubims at the east of the garden with those flaming swords to keep the way of the tree of life. It just took a little time, not much at all, for the human race back in its infancy. It only took a little time to advance rebellion, forming a world full of treasonous rebels. But God has always had his remnant. He's always in the midst of such treasonous, rebellious multitudes. He's always had his little remnants, like this remnant right here. A small remnant who choose not to go with the world, but choose to serve him. But still, we should not dare for a moment let our hearts say, loving the world doesn't apply to me. It does apply. It applies to every one of us in ways that we don't even know about. So treasonous had man become, so wicked in the days of Noah, that God destroyed every living, breathing thing from off the face of the earth, except for those who were in the ark, which is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can take comfort in that. The earth was so filled with violence, it was so corrupt before God, that when he looked at it, when he looked on the earth, he saw that, he says, all flesh had corrupted his way on the earth, and he destroyed it. He destroyed it. And the evidences of that catastrophic destruction are the world over. It's everywhere. The marine mammals, the marine fossils on the tops of Mount Everest and places like that. Genesis 7 tells us that all flesh died that moved upon the earth. Fowl, cattle, and beast, every creeping thing that creeped upon the earth, it was all destroyed. The Bible says, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, all that was on the dry land, every living substance was destroyed from off the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping things, the fowls of the heaven, they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. The conditions of the world of the human race have only since the days of the flood. They've gotten worse and worse. And we have actually come to the very days that the Bible describes that were as the days of Noah. And that and we read that in Luke chapter 17, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, they built, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. We're living in those times. We're living in those times. As it was in those days, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. This earth is filled with violence. But even if the long, long history of man has been a tragic one, it's not supposed to be so with the children of God. As children of God, we can serve God. That's why He saved us, to become His faithful servants, to manifest the fruit of the Spirit of God in our lives. Galatians chapter 5, the love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And Paul goes on there to say, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And that's something we need to really understand. I hope you do. I do. I find myself often saying, Lord, if you don't give me the wisdom, I don't want to trust in my own wisdom. I don't want to have confidence in me. You've placed your Spirit within me. Help me to hear Him. Help me to hear His leading and to know His leading. And help me to come to the pages of your Word. So the days that we're in the time of Noah are similar to what we find ourselves in. Having a form of godliness. In 2 Timothy, describing our time, similar to the days of Noah, it says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Dangerous times. Spiritually dangerous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And then it says this, having a form of godliness. And the Greek word for form, having a form, is the Strong's Greek Dictionary word number 3446. The word form, having a form of godliness, that word form, is the word morphosis. Morphosis. It means to morph. It means to change into something that you're not. This present evil world, it has a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. And so the Bible says, you turn away from that. You turn away from that. Because they never, in that condition, are able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So this present world is evil. It's evil. It's a wicked world. It's a hurtful world. It's a vicious world, and it's a degenerate and lewd world, and it's a malicious world. That's what that word evil means, this present evil world. And as 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14 says, this is no marvel. There's nothing to marvel about here, because God, the God of this world, He knows all about Morphosis. He morphoses into an angel of light to deceive the whole world. So again, 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the world, but is of the Father. And Christ, it says, we read just a moment ago in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, Christ gave Himself for our sins. He died on the cross. He became our substitute as He bore our sins on His own body on the tree. He did that so that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father. That's interesting. That's as serious as His death on the cross. He died for that purpose, to deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father. We need to think about these things. We need to think about them daily. What is my relationship to this world? Am I living too close to the things of this world? What do I think about throughout the day? Where do I gravitate to? When I have some, what do I do with? Well, Christ gave Himself for our sins. You know where that happened. That happened on that bloody, cruel cross, where your sins and my sins, where He paid our penalty. There, that's where He... And He did that, the Bible says right there in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, that He might deliver us from this present evil. Not that we would be a friend of this present evil world. He wants to deliver us that we might live unto Him and not unto ourselves. And we have thick heads and we have thick hearts. And we need to beg God to let the truth of His Word sink through that thickness and that unbelief and get down in there where it can change our lives. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And with His stripes, we are healed. So He wants to deliver us from this present evil world. I don't know. I'm sure you too. Sometimes something, a phrase, a passage really does something to your heart. I hope that do not love this world. I hope that will grasp you. It needs to grasp every one of us. It's a command that God expects only one reaction from out of you and out of me: obedience. Love not this world. Obedience. That's all that He's looking for. And again, we're talking about the world as a structured system. We're living in this system daily. We're moving about in this arrangement, this world that we're not supposed to love. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." No man that warreth entangleth himself, gets all tangled up in the cares and the affairs of this life. How could a soldier, all entangled in the affairs of this world, be able to do what he's called to do as a soldier? "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." The affairs, it means don't allow yourself to become all intertwined and entangled with the deeds of the people of this life who serve a different master. Don't get entangled up into that. Our citizenship is in heaven. We no longer focus on the temporal. Our citizenship is in heaven. And our devotion should be heavenly. Every day, every night. And only to this world, towards this world, in a secondary manner. When God called you to be a soldier, when He called you, when He saved you, He called you to be a soldier. We're in spiritual warfare. And then we now serve under the captain of our salvation. Our focus and our attention, it's now under a new command. We're not living the way this world lives. The captain of our salvation, we don't go back into the world and become entangled in its interests and all of the things that this world cares about. A soldier can't do that. Because the command that we serve under is far, far too important. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." The word "warreth," the Greek word 4754, it expresses a military idea of setting up encampments. So soldiers of Christ have marching orders from heaven. Meaning that when any soldiers of the Lord's army becomes involved with or becomes intertwined with all the affairs of this life, they're no longer pleasing Him who has called them to be a soldier. A soldier who goes out into combat, he is focused. Don't we realize that we're in spiritual combat here in this world, but we get intertangled with just wherever things carry us. Entangleth. That's a similar Greek word as warreth. And it means that when the soldiers of the Lord's army becomes intertwined with the affairs of this life, they're no longer pleasing their captain. They're the one who has chosen him, chosen us to be soldiers. And then we mentioned Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. Don't conform to this world. Don't conform to it. And unless we're diligent in our attendance to the services where the Word of God is preached, unless we give attendance and diligence to the Word of God, it's the bread of life. We need it for sustenance of our souls. We need it daily. And in Romans 12, 2, it tells us, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be fashioned to the things. Don't be fashioned into the things that this world esteems. Don't be fashioned into the shape that this world is interested in. Don't do that. Be fashioned into the shape that God wants. To be conformed to this world, it means that you have joined in companionship. You've just sort of joined right in with companionship and with associations of the things of this world. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't join in companionship with the things of this world. And we can only differentiate by studying the book. By studying the book. Every day. Every day. You all who have served in the military, you know that daily, every day you would fall out in formation and you would be given instructions. You didn't just go and do what you wanted to do. And if that's true with this world's army, what about the Lord's army? Of whom we've been called to be soldiers. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. James, in his epistle in chapter 4 and verse 4, said, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." It says, whosoever. Whosoever. It doesn't say the lost people who are friends of this world are the enemy of God. No. It says, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I mean, that is spiritual confusion, to be out in a battle zone and you don't know which side you should be shooting at or defending. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So what is the Lord trying to tell us? What is He trying to tell us? He's trying to tell us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all that is in the world is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away. Why would we spend our time and our efforts for something that's just going to pass away? Wouldn't it be better to be good soldiers, to be faithful when we realize that we're not supposed to love this world, to be faithful and to be laying up treasures in heaven and to be laying up rewards that we can put at our master's feet? Wouldn't that be the better choice? Love not the world. Our Father, we thank you tonight for these few moments we've had to open your word. We pray that the thoughts that we've considered tonight would help us in this world that we live. We know that there are physical dangers on every hand, as someone mentioned in the prayer tonight, that we never know what the next day or moment might hold for us physically, but how much more spiritually? And it is a dangerous world that we live in spiritually, and we just pray that we would not trust in ourselves, but in you and in your word. And Father, we thank you so much for this local church, the pillar and ground of the truth. We thank you for everyone who supports this church, especially those who are faithful in attendance. And we pray that we would lift one another up often in our prayers. There's not a saint of God here that doesn't need prayers. We all do. And we pray that we would lift one another up and that we would love one another with a fervent heart, with a glowing heart of true love. And we just ask that you'll bless us now as we close the rest of this meeting. In Jesus' name, amen.